Welcome to Deadpan number 30. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. I haven't decided on an a.k.a. for the week. A.k.a. Colonel Potter from MASH. All right. So this week is an all-listener contribution show. I have recorded an interview, but that will be in episode 31 next week, assuming I'm able to get it out next week. That's not being dramatic or anything like that. I'll shut up with those violins. It's just the life explosion continues to intensify. Anyway, enough of that. Next week, we'll have Rusty Cooley, who's a world-class virtuoso guitarist. What I've been thinking about doing is we kind of really geek out on some of the technical stuff. So I may have it so that the interview on Deadpan doesn't go that far with the technical stuff. And, that might be bonus material. I don't know. I'm not sure how to do it. Your thoughts are welcome on the Deadpan comment boards, which, of course, you guys know where they are. And I'm not doing too well with the intro babble this week. So let's get into some,
Embracing your creative side is a beautiful thing. And no one said you had to limit yourself. Each idea is a shining seed that can grow into something beautiful. I'm Phil Rossi. Join me on the Filling the Page podcast, where I explore creativity, short attention spans, and great hair. I'm a musician, a writer, and aspiring author. Tune in as I share my adventures trying to make time for all of it. Subscribe at fillingthepage.blogspot.com.
Hello, this is Amy Bowen. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is the way.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hello, Deadpanites. This is Amy with my first ever earbuds segment. In my voicemail in episode 28, I said I was buying two CDs for NaNoWriMo this year. Well, I ended up buying three. The third one was the soundtrack for an anime series known as Fafnir. I bought it because it had one track I wanted to use in a presentation I was giving. The rest of the CD underwhelmed me. Most of the music on it is orchestral, and I felt like I had heard it all before. I might listen to it while writing, but only because it works so well as inconspicuous background noise. I also got my copy of The Wishing Bridge, which needs no introduction here and which I absolutely love. I think the opening track, Train, sets a great mood that makes me want to get things moving. I also like how Stardust Crash, Asteroid Speed Highway, and Rain lead into one another so well. And they already make me think of my novel. Very, very good album. In my next two earbud segments, I'll talk about the other CDs I'll be writing to this year. Now I've gotta go. Because I should be Deadpan is the way. Yeah, that's right.
Jesu Domine.
So if this divine rapture is coming to take all of the alarmingly crazy pious to heaven, and the rest of us are going to be left behind, then I call dibs on Kirk Cameron's stuff. I'm sure he made some nice cash during his days on that sinful show Growing Pains. I bet he has a nice car. Oh, I'd like one of Pat Robertson's estates, too. Oh, and you know, if no one else wants stripers, yellow and black spandex, hell, I'll take them. You never know when that stuff will come back into fashion. So what's the deal with this rapture anyway? All of the bigoted, self-righteous zealots are going to leave the Earth for another dimension? Yeah, I think that's a day we can all look forward to. Although I'm still confused. The big holy apocalypse has been depicted in so many different ways. Some describe a peaceful teleportation of all the believers, kind of like Scotty performing a mass beaming to heaven. Others warn that Jesus, yeah, the turn-the-other-cheek pacifist guy, him, they say he's going to come back to Earth and kick ass, tossing all the non-believers into the fiery pits of hell. But then, another sacred text describes the rapture as follows.
And you don't stop. Sure shot. Go out to the parking lot. And you get in your car, and you drive real far. And you drive all night, and you see a light. And it comes right down, and it lands on the ground. And out comes a man from Mars. And you try to run, but he's got a gun. And he shoots you dead, and he eats your head, and now you're in the man from Mars. You go out at night, eating cars. You eat Cadillacs, Lincolns too, Mercurys, and Subaru. And you don't stop. You keep on eating cars. That was Rapture by Blondie.
I got bolts in my neck, a flat top head. I'm 8 feet tall and back from the dead. You see, I can rig rubbers down to tears, cause I've been muscle repping for 100 years. They all light up the torches, chase me through the town, doing everything, try to track me down, but they can't keep up, can't compete, cause I got the rep of the monster beat. You see, north, east, west, and south, I'm the cat they call Monster Mouth. When I party rap, I control the room. I can get the werewolves howling at the moon. You see, I'm big and bad, smart and mean. The cool brain child of Dr. Frankenstein. Is that a rap? Bap. Another zap. Can't stop the rapping now.
So yes, we're getting retro here.
Hello, this is Retro. And when I listen to Jack Mangan's podcast, how does it make me feel? Kind of like that. Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan's the way.
Well, that's not the retro I meant, but, you know, retro's a cool guy. Always welcome. What I meant was the stolen rap lyrics. We actually had two that have been played on previous episodes. Rapture was actually done by Paul Fisher. It aired originally in episode number 13. And the monster rap originally appeared in Deadpan number 22. It was done by Cheyenne Wright. That's because this episode, Deadpan number 30, is being released right around Halloween. Halloween's a pretty big day for some of us around here. Especially this year, so best wishes to everyone. And don't worry. And if you have kids, then have fun trick-or-treating with them. And since we're getting timely, let's talk about another scary event that's going to follow Halloween. That's right, it's election time again. I'm not going to get heavy or bipartisan or bipolar or any of that stuff, but just going to say one thing. You know, there's always all this hype around the election saying go out and rock the vote. If you don't really know much about the candidates or the issues, then don't rock the vote. Just stay home. It's not your civic duty to make an uninformed vote. And there, that's it. You know what? I don't think this episode has had enough Paul Fisher yet.
Dumbass memories.
Hey Jack, this is Paul Fisher from the ADD Cast at addcast.net and the Balticon Podcast at balticonpodcast.org. And I want to share with you one of my dumb ass moments. So we're on vacation in Texas, pretty much as far south in the U.S. as you can get and still be in Texas. And we decided to cross over into Mexico just to see what there was to see, which, it wasn't all that much. But on the way back, we noticed a duty-free shop. Now, we had walked over, so I decided that it was time to investigate the duty-free shop. And I discovered that I could buy Kahlua for about half what I pay up here in Virginia. And being kind of a cheap bastard, I thought, aha, I can save me some money on some good booze. So I bought myself four bottles of Kahlua, and
paid for them, and that's when they told me that I had to walk 300 yards across the bridge back into Mexico and then turn around and walk 300 yards back into the U.S. because the booze had to cross into Mexico. Dumbass moment number one. So I walked all the way back to Mexico, crossed the street to the other side of the bridge, past all of the honking cars that were trying to move in and out of the border, and walked my ass back through the 100-plus degree heat to the U.S., where I encountered the U.S. Customs Department. Now, I was expecting this, and, well, that cost me another 10% of what I had saved. So we go from 50% of normal cost to 40%. Still better than the sale prices that you normally wind up with here in Virginia. Then I hit the Texas State Customs, whereupon informing them that I live in the state of Virginia, therefore I should not be required to pay the state of Texas, they informed me that I was shit out of luck. And, well, there went another 5% of my profit. For those of you who are counting, we're down to 35%. Actually, at this point, call it, I've saved about $50. That's my 35%. So I pack it up and walk it back to the car. We conclude our vacation and it all gets packed into one suitcase and every suitcase is packed to the max. And I figure, oh, I'll make one really heavy suitcase so that I know where everything is. Well, I had forgotten about the new airline regulations where they charge you if your suitcase is above 75 pounds. That fee, you ask? $25. Now I am down to a $25 savings, which is pretty much what you can get Kahlua for on sale here in Virginia. And that's my dumbass moment.
Double dumbass on you!
Hey Jack, it's Alvy with a dumbass memory for you. Alright, so check this out, G-Fresh. Okay, I'm at the supermarket, right? And this guy's checking me out. Not like checking me out like, I want to fuck you, check me out. But checking me out at the check stand. Checking me out, you know what I mean. Sorry. Anyway, so I have three things and the total comes to $42.50. And I'm like, dude, there's no way that my meat and my cheese and my lettuce comes out to goddamn $42.50. It's just not fucking, it's not possible. He's like, no, it says, it's right here on the receipt, $42.50 for your meat and your cheese and your lettuce. I'm like, dude, no, you gotta fucking recheck that. It ain't right. And so like a half an hour goes by. He doesn't bother calling anybody, no fucking manager, no nothing. People behind me getting pissed off. And so finally he realizes what he's done. He's charged me like triple for my meat and my cheese and my lettuce. So the shit gets sorted out finally. And I'm on my merry way. Like 45 minutes later, this guy was a fucking complete and utter dumb ass. So that was it. Oh, is that not what you meant by dumbass memories? Oh. Sorry.
Alright, here we go.
Wait.
What? Four belongs to Karen, so Karen, please make the toast. Oh, okay.
This toast is to Jack Mangan.
Shouldn't we toast him with a deadpan tone?
Oh, yeah.
Jack Mangan.
That's where we're toasting to Patrick McClain. No. No, Jack. Jack.
From Podcast Pickle, one of Time Magazine's 50 coolest websites, and Christiana Ellis, author of Nina Kimberly the Merciless, comes a brand new competition for podcast storytelling. Pickle Tales, Battle of the Podcast Stars. Contestants will write and produce 5-minute audio skits, stories, or essays on the assigned theme, and listeners decide who moves on to the next round. Each round raises the stakes, and the grand prize winner will receive $250 cash and other fabulous prizes. Best of all, the auditions are completely open. You don't have to have a podcast to enter. We're accepting submissions until midnight on October 31st, so head over to www.podcastpickle.com/pickletales for more information on how to enter. The next podcast star could be you.
Hey, Jack. Paul from Des Moines calling to let you know what's in my fridge. Today I got a lot of bagels, a lot of yogurt, that's my roommate's, some leftover from Outback Steakhouse, easily 20 bottles of beer of various brews. Popular brands and brews are the Goose Island Brew Pub out of Chicago. Hi, Andrea. I picked up one of their summertime packs. It was a 12-pack of 3 different bottles, and my roommate's got a 6-pack of Mike's Hard Berry in here. I got a couple 2 liters of soda, some Gatorade, some Powerade, 24 cans of Sprite, and a nice pan of bran muffin batter for whenever somebody in this apartment wants to make bran muffins, I don't know. Typical condiments, A1 steak sauce, syrup, mayonnaise, that's what they're calling it these days. Ranch dressing, ketchup, some juices, and shredded Parmesan cheese, and Tostitos medium queso. So, keep it real, keep it deadpan. Love the show. Bye.
You know, those contents of your fridge voicemails are fine, just as long as there's no Jeffrey Dahmer's calling. So we're going to do 2 double shots. I guess it'll be a double shot of unrelated thoughts. I guess the rapture thing before might have been an unrelated thought, but anyway. You remember Prince's old band? His best one, The Revolution? This is the crew he had for the 1999 Little Red Corvette Purple Rain era. Yes, I know we were all focused on Wendy and Lisa, or even Prince's sperm-shaped guitar, but I gotta ask, what was the deal with his keyboard player in the surgical scrubs? Did he really think that would be a cool onstage image? I mean, it must have been hard enough to get groupies anyway when you're on tour with Prince. But that guy must have gotten absolutely nothing. I don't need to be crazy rich, you know, like rich enough to matter to Republicans, but I'd like to be wealthy or comfortable or maybe even in the black. I don't want to be crazy famous. In fact, I don't want fame at all. I just want to be cool. Cool enough that my highlights are in slow-mo, like an athlete or a rock star. Although just my highlights, not the day-to-day stuff. It would kind of lose its luster if I'm beating scrambled eggs in super slow-mo, frame-by-frame advance. And slow-motion shaving, vacuuming, fingernail clipping, loading the dishwasher, etc. That has no appeal at all. Just my exciting moments. Well, I guess that brings me to the next part of it. I want to be cool enough to have exciting moments worthy of a slow-mo highlight reel.
Pans. I can't find any pans. Jack Mangan to the rescue. Jack Mangan's my hero. Thanks, Jack. Gil from Milwaukee. I heart you.
Where are we going now? Sighed Jeremy. The car was driving on a featureless highway, apparently somewhere in the Plain States. The world's largest frying pan, and it should be appearing on the horizon right about now. Looming ahead was the silhouette of a black cast iron skillet, apparently shoved handle first into the ground by some huge camp cook. I'm going to get some shots. You coming? Asked Chris. Nah, I'll nap. Leave it running. Cool. Jeremy yawned and stretched, scratching his chest with one hand and searching for the seat back handle with the other. There didn't seem to be a handle along the right side, and Jeremy felt along the front with no success. Frowning, he spread both of his knees wide and leaned forward for a visual search, not noticing he'd knocked the car into drive. He looked up again just as the car rammed into the base of the handle. The pan swayed back and forth as Chris ran toward the car. Then slowly it fell away from the car and hit the ground with shattering force. Jeremy got out of the car and turned to Chris, who was pale and shaking. Well, now it's a deadpan. You can find Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast, home of the Really Big Things cereal, at www.jackmangan.com.
Okay, this is going to hurt. Are you ready? For extra credit, count the jokes. Let us investigate this week into the seedy world of apple core porn. The oranges are apparently also involved in this juicy produce, with a number of pulp titles on the market. Fruit representatives from both sides of the grocery aisle have weighed in on these saucy skin flicks. A meeting date was met in a Pittsburgh salad bar where the fruits could wax and mull over the issues. The apples pie chart was most convincing. A bunch of bananas, whose interest in this subject should be obvious, chipped in with appeals, saying, quote, "There's a lot of wine coming down the grapevine, but I don't understand the issues the other fruits are raising. Sounds like sour grapes to me." A rowdy bunch of strawberries were present, appearing unshaven and blowing raspberries at the protesters. The peaches called in on their BlackBerry devices, but their arguments were kind of fuzzy. The sticky scene got a bit punchy when the blueberries called them, quote, "nothing but tarts," but that was quickly squashed. A pair of pears declared the dilemma, quote, "quite a pickle." The lemons were strangely absent from the debate, for which the limes denounced them as being yellow. The coconuts did drop in, apparently eager to milk the opportunity for some press, but most found it difficult to get them to open up. Some of the fruit delegates gave speeches, but many seemed canned, and the kiwis responded bitterly with rotten tomatoes. The cranberry speeches especially bogged down the proceedings. Most suspected they were only there to blend and mix with the others. Watermelons then wedged their way into the debate, demanding that the apples turn over a new leaf and stem this before it becomes something truly rotten, calling their supporters, quote, "nuttier than fruitcakes." An insider tipped us to keep our eyes peeled for the potatoes, who'd rolled in from Idaho on behalf of the vegetables. When we finally dug them up, some were sweet, but most were either too baked or fried to talk to us. They would not say for whom they were rooting, stating only that an attempt should be made to appease using the carrot-and-stick method. The deliberations proved somewhat fruitful, but alas, the event ended tragically when Gallagher showed up in the flesh with a mallet. And of course, the first participants he busted were the cherries.
Me, Grimlock, listen to Jack Mangan, Deadpan, when me not fighting Decepticons. Me, Grimlock, a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and me not dumb. Me, Automobot. Me, Grimlock, love Deadpan.
And that's the perfect time for me to point out that the content you guys have provided lately, well, your content's always been good, really, ever since I first put out the call. But, you know, I just feel compelled to point out just how awesome the content is. So keep it coming. And thanks to everyone who's contributed to this episode and to every episode. Also, some of the unsung heroes like Amy Bowen and some of the people who maybe don't get enough credit, like Alvy, who gave me a couple of good things for this episode and the previous one. I don't want to start naming names because then I'll be bound to leave someone out, and that would be a shame because everyone does great stuff. And just to qualify and clarify the comment at the beginning of the show, I'm not too concerned about the future of Deadpan. There's a good chance that there'll need to be a break sometime in November, but there will be advanced notice. I have some decent content. As I said, I have an interview lined up as a really good interview. And I have some good content that I still have yet to use. So Deadpan will be back. And hopefully next week. And hopefully there won't even be a break. But we'll have to see. Gonna leave off with a tune. It's sort of a lo-fi tune. It's called Desert Scene. The story behind this one. We were scheduled to go and record at Jerry's studio. For the very first time. So we all showed up at Matt's house. And it was a Sunday. We're going to go and record Love Temple. And you hear a sample of Love Temple at the beginning of this episode in most Deadpans. So anyway, we were set to go to Jerry's. We showed up at Matt's house on a Sunday. And we got a call that Jerry had just become a grandfather and couldn't do it that day. So we were all, you know, happy for him, but disappointed. And so we're at Matt's house, and there had been this jam that we'd been playing just kind of just for fun and just kind of to explore. And so we just turned on the 4-track and recorded ourselves. And then Matt went back and added some nice touches, you know, later on using the 4-track and just adding extra tracks and layers. And of course, it was a cheesy 4-track recorded to a cassette tape, so the sound quality is for crap. And there are moments where we screwed up because it's a live recording, but there are some good moments, and it's, I don't know, brings back good memories, and it's kind of an alright piece. But I think it had some potential. And that's it. Deadpan is the way. Thanks much for being part of the community. There's always the donation fund at the website and the sidebar. It goes through PayPal. Your voicemails are welcome. That's 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. I heart you all. Have a good, safe, happy Halloween. Loving you is like loving the deadpan. Not coming back after the music.